Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now, we have emails. We have emails. Donald Trump Jr. and an associate setting up a meeting with a Russian government lawyer in June of last year, providing them with dirt on Hillary Clinton. Ooh, the White House, folks in a free-for-all. They don't know what to do. We'll talk with counterterrorism intelligence expert Malcolm Nance, who predicted all of this was going to take place with Russia and our election. Senate Republicans are not happy. They have to deal with Trump's crap when it comes to Russia. Now they're catching heat over the health care bill. Senate Majority Leader, though, Mitch McConnell, may very well be close to a deal. He is cutting short their summer recess in order to try to force this through, but he is going to be met with massive protests, including Reverend Dr. William Barber, tomorrow here in D.C. Organizers of the history-making Women's March in Washington, D.C., are planning another protest tomorrow against the National Rifle Association after they released a controversial video. Co-organizer Tamika Mallory joins me to talk about the march on tomorrow as well. Plus, folks, you'll be seeing many, many posts. You'll be seeing also different graphics. You'll be seeing all kind of comments on the issue of supporting net neutrality. But big broadband companies want the FCC to get rid of rules meant to ensure free expression and fairness online. We will talk with one of the organizers of today's worldwide action. And, of course, we were in New Orleans at Essence Fest, and we caught up with my homegirl, CeCe Winans. We'll talk to her as well. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now, TV One.
It's disgusting. It's so phony. I can't think of bigger lies, but that exactly goes to show you what the DNC and what the Clinton camp will do. They will lie and do anything to win.
Don't you just love it when there's video of you lying? That was an indignant Donald Trump Jr. on CNN in July of 2016, blasting accusations by the Clinton campaign at the Russian government was working to help his father get elected by hurting Hillary Clinton. Ooh, but how tables have turned. Yesterday, Trump Jr. released this email chain, and only because the New York Times was about to actually release it, this shows the exchange between him and a representative of the Russian government. And in the email, they lay out point blank, they wanted to meet with him to talk about how the Russian government has dirt on Hillary Clinton in order to help his father's campaign. He called it lovely if they had the goods. When was this? Several days in June of 2016, 6 weeks before Mr. Indignant went on CNN. Rob Goldstone, the talent manager with connections to the Miss Universe pageant, was the intermediary trying to set up the meeting between Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer with ties to the Kremlin. Now, here's what's interesting again about all of this. Goldstone wrote to Trump Jr. that the attorney, quote, offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high level and sensitive information, but is part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump. So, what did little Donald do? He responded, quote, thanks, Rob, I appreciate that. If it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer. The meeting with the Russian lawyer who flew in from Moscow took place on June 9th, where? At Trump Tower. Who was in the meeting? Little Trump, Trump's son-in-law and now senior advisor Jared Kushner, and then campaign manager Paul Manafort. And last night, Little Trump appeared on Fox News. He said he never spoke to the lawyer again and never told his father because the meeting amounted to nothing.
In retrospect, I probably would have done things a little differently. Again, this is before the Russia mania. This is before they were building it up in the press. For me, this was opposition research. They had something, you know, maybe concrete evidence to all the stories I'd been hearing about, but they were probably underreported for, you know, years, not just during the campaign. So I think I wanted to hear it out. But really, it went nowhere, and it was apparent that that wasn't what the meeting was actually about.
So he wanted to hear what the Russian government had on Hillary Clinton. He didn't think to call the FBI. That a foreign entity was trying to impact the election. There was just nothing, so I ignored it. Then he said, of course, it was all these different things that were going on. It was just months. No, actually, because if you actually trace the comments, Daddy Trump doesn't start attacking Hillary Clinton in her emails and calling for Russia to grab them until after this meeting. Joining us right now from Philadelphia via phone, Malcolm Nance, counterterrorism intelligence advisor, author of The Plot to Hack America, How Putin Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election. Joining me on my panel, Greg Carr, chair of the Department of Afro-American Studies, Howard University, Liz Copeland, founder and president of the Urban Conservative Project, Spencer Overton, president of the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies. Malcolm.
Good morning.
Little Trump has issues.
You know, when you were reading those emails earlier, I thought it would be much more interesting if you read them in the voice of Elmo. you know, we are now crossing the Rubicon that the Republicans have staked their entire existence on, that there was no collusion, even though last week they were floating the, well, if there was collusion, it's legal timeline. We are now seeing where we have entities that I predicted in my book, Plot to Hack America, a year ago, that there was a bridge between Russian intelligence, the Kremlin itself, directly to the Trump campaign. And I really appreciate Donald Trump Jr. Coming out and verifying all of this for me.
And the thing that's interesting is that you had Daddy Trump saying, Russian hoax, I'm owed an apology. And another leak, and then all of a sudden another report. And here's what's crazy. This information was given to the New York Times from inside of the White House. There are people clearly in the White House who know something is wrong with this man, know that it is illegitimate, and they are saying, you know what? He hates leaks, but there are clear patriots who say, I'm putting country above party and above Trump.
Well, there's some speculation about what the source of this story was, and I know two people who very well known that believe that it actually may have come from a defense attorney, believing that this information was going to be explosive and needed to be out before his client would start facing perjury charges. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. The important component of this is that we now know that the Russian government was using multiple lines of inquiry into getting their way and getting information into the hands of Donald Trump. What's most notable about this, and I wrote an entire chapter on it in my book, was the relationship between two characters who came up with Donald Trump in Donald Trump's life during the Miss Universe pageant. That's Ermin Alagarov and his father, Aras Alagarov. And Ermin they loved Donald Trump in Russia. They thought The Apprentice was like one of the top-ranked shows in that country. He was a pop singer, and he got Donald Trump to come to Russia. His father bankrolled the entire Miss Universe. They're both billionaires, multi-billionaires, worth $21 billion. And Trump went there and was enamored with these people, Russia and Russian money. And this is the genesis of where Donald Trump's beliefs about Russia being a pinnacle nation because they have a lot of money and were giving it to him came from. They were the people named in the email, Ermin and Aras Alagarov, who were the ones that got to Donald Trump.
And Malcolm, at the end of the day, and I keep saying this, the fact that Daddy Trump will not say anything negative about Putin or Russia says it all.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're when you're a gambler in debt, you don't ever insult your bookie, right? I mean, these are people that he has that have some sway over him. And this is precisely what the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution was about, so that you would never be in debt to a foreign power and would not act in the interest of a foreign power. Now, there is one thing I'd like to note, because a writer for the Huffington Post, Christina Wilkie, made a very interesting arc related to the timeline. They had their meeting with Ms. Vasilnaya, the Russian lawyer, at 4 p.m., and it ran 20 to 30 minutes. 15 minutes after that meeting ended, Donald Trump sent his first tweet mentioning Hillary Clinton's 33,000 emails. You know, there's you know, in my business, the intelligence business, we have a saying, coincidence takes a lot of planning. And in this case, Donald Trump, we call that Nance's Law, by the way, Donald Trump clearly was briefed in about this meeting,
right,
anticipated this meeting, giving them information, even though they didn't get anything out of that meeting. He either knew through this line of inquiry, or he had multiple lines going out. And that's what I asserted in my book last July.
Got it.
So this is only going to expand.
Malcolm Nance, we appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
All right, go to our panel here. Liz, I'll start with you. Republicans are like, oh, my God, really? They have been defending Donald Trump. They've been saying, okay, no evidence, no evidence. This is now a problem.
This is a problem. But just for clarification, John McCain has always had a problem with it. He's always had a problem. And even Lindsey Graham.
I'm going beyond them. I'm talking about now all of a sudden you have folks who are going, okay, I can't defend this nonsense on TV.
No Republican should defend Don Jr.'s intent to collude. The lawyer wasn't a Russian government lawyer, but the intent of senior members of Trump's campaign to work with a hostile nation to influence our presidential election should concern all Americans, but it doesn't. A recent Vox poll showed that 83% of Republicans say it's a distraction, and 83% of Democrats polled said it's a huge issue. Everyone should be concerned about this.
But here's the piece, Spencer. If you go back, and I keep telling people, if you go back to Watergate,
right,
everybody has to remember, Nixon was reelected,
right,
even after Watergate happened. Watergate took 900 days.
Right.
It took a long time for that thing to bubble up and for people to say, okay, this is what it is. What is happening is, we said before, we had was down here, oh, right, okay, Manafort, okay, this guy, Carter Page, and then it sort of comes up. Now to have Donald Trump Jr. with an email,
right,
that says the Russian government is trying to help your dad,
right,
now that thing has gone a little bit higher. I would think those numbers are going to drop on the Republican side.
It's like McDonald's, right? I'm loving it, right? He's like, I love it here, and let it come out later. Can you imagine if Michelle Obama and Valerie Jarrett had met with Kenyan government officials or someone related to Kenyan government in order to support Barack Obama? Folks would have gone crazy and ballistic on this. Part of this comes down to the fact that government is different from business here. And when you run a government and a campaign like it's about business, it's about self-interest, then you become like, frankly, a developing country where things are mixed up and folks can be paid off, and you're not really the leader of the free world. We've really lost our status.
Greg, again, what we're seeing now, All this is just fake news.
No, I mean, let's be clear. They're calling the Trumps the Corleones. No. Don Corleone was a good businessman. So let's be clear about that. The Trumps are not even amateur politicians. This is all about debt. He couldn't get any more financing here, so he went to Russia. And once he did that, everything is over from there. What does that mean? That means that now all the stuff's going to start coming out. Jared Kushner is the same thing with real estate. They're getting finance from the Russians. So they are in the tank. But everybody has a different agenda. The Bannon folk want to make this a white nationalist state. You got the GOPs about to be crazy because they got their budget coming up. They want to raise a debt ceiling. They got an FBI director to confirm. They want more judges. These are three different streams. Yeah. But at the head of it, Donald Trump never was supposed to be president. He didn't even want it. He was just trying to burnish his brand as he moves from real estate and failed casinos to the Trump brand. Unfortunately, he caught the car. Once he caught the car, everybody's just holding their breath, praying they can get something on his desk to sign before he implodes. And notice Mike Pence. I wasn't there. I didn't know.
All right, and in fact, real quick, folks, this was the comment from VP Mike's from his press secretary. The vice president was not aware of the meeting. He is not focused on stories. stories about the campaign, particularly stories about the time before he joined the ticket.
Come on.
Okay, let me translate.
Go ahead, Roland.
Y'all, come on. Look, my name Bennett. I ain't in it. I don't know them people. I ain't know them people. I wasn't on a ticket. I ain't trying to be in that. You know why? Because I'm preparing myself to be president when he gets impeached.
There you go.
So don't call me.
That's right.
Don't email me. Don't text me. I ain't got nothing with it. That's the translation of VP Mike Pence. All right, coming up next, we'll talk with Tamika Mallory about the protests they have plans targeting the National Rifle Association. She's next. News 1 Now on TV 1.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, welcome back to News 1 Now. We're about to do our simulcast of the Times Journal Morning Show. Here we go.
From Washington, D.C., Roland Martin, good morning.
What's up, Tom? Sybil, Bill Bellamy, how we doing?
Good.
First off, I need everybody to mark your calendars October 13th. That's when the movie Marshall hits theaters. It's directed by Reggie Hudlin, starring Chadwick Boseman as Thurgood Marshall. There was a screening last night in Baltimore for All the Alphas. Our convention begins today. Tom, it is an unbelievable movie. But it's not.
Insane.
Here's the deal. When you see it, I'm telling you, but it's important that we go that first weekend. But Reggie Hudlin did an amazing job with it. You know, people talk about, remember, Chad was going to be Black Panther?
Yeah.
Thurgood was a real life superhero.
There you go.
And so I'm telling you, when y'all see it, you're going to be blown away by Marshall. Comes out October 13th. So let's all go out and do that. All right. Speaking of real life superheroes, Tom, we have one today. Of course, she was one of the co-organizers of the Women's March, Tamika Mallory. They are now going after the National Rifle Association. You know, everybody else is scared of the NRA. Because of all their money. Well, the NRA put out this video attacking demonstrators who fight against police brutality and other injustices. Let me play a little bit of that ad they put out. Guys, roll it.
I'm talking to you, Tamika Mallory. You write a letter to the NRA on behalf of the Women's March claiming our Clenched Fist of Truth ad was an attack on minority communities. You call it dangerous and demand it be taken down. I'm here to tell you, not a chance.
All right, that was the second video by some dude. Is it Grant Stinkfield? Something like that, whatever.
Yep.
I invited him on the show, Tom. He ain't showed up. I wonder why. So joining us right now is Tamika Mallory. So, Tamika, what is this protest y'all have planned for the NRA?
Well, you know, first of all, we couldn't allow the NRA to put out the first ad, which is very, very dangerous. It pretty much says, meet protesters with arms, you know, and this is a powerful organization that we know should be doing nothing but talking about safety and de-escalation. And so it puts people, protesters, in danger, and we wanted to make sure folks were aware. So we sent them a letter saying, here's our three demands. Take the ad down, apologize for it, and since y'all are so busy doing ads and, you know, having so much to say about protesters, why don't you speak on behalf of Philando Castile, who was a card-carrying registered gun owner.
And the fact of the matter is, the NRA said nothing about the shooting death of Philando Castile, even though, as you said, the same thing happened when John Crawford was killed in Beaver Creek, Ohio, at the Walmart, a brother who was in a store, an open carry state, who was carrying an air rifle in a Walmart on a cell phone. He gets gunned down. Again, NRA says nothing. Two black men.
Absolutely.
Okay. Shot down, NRA silent.
Right, but they have something to say about how people should approach protesters, right? And so we wanted to get that information out there. So we send this letter, and instead of hearing back from them saying either let's sit down or you can kiss my behind, we're not going to talk to you at all, they created this second ad, which is what you saw, where they put my face in it specifically as if they were saying here's the person for you to target, as well as, you know, some other activists and other people. And so, you know, we're not going to be silenced. It's not like you can't, they were talking to the right folks. We're like, well, actually, we're coming to your headquarters. So because one, we want you to know that you can't silence us, but also we need to make sure there's a spotlight put on the hypocrisy. People need to know. I had a conversation with Philando Castile's mother, and she said, my son was executed. The NRA has done absolutely nothing for him. And we're walking to the Department of Justice to say, oh, you are not off the hook either. We want a federal indictment of the officer who shot and killed and executed Philando Castile.
Now, when is this protest taking place?
On Friday, we will be gathering at 9 a.m., outside the NRA headquarters. And we're walking 17 miles from the NRA all the way to the DOJ all day on Friday.
So the NRA's headquarters is located
in Fairfax, Virginia.
And then, so you're going from there to DOJ.
Right, but that, let's just be clear. If you can't make the walk, just meet us at the NRA, stand with us there, or you can be at the vigil at the DOJ on Saturday at 10 a.m.
And the thing here is that a lot of people, again, especially a lot of politicians, they are scared to death of the NRA. They're scared of their money. They're scared they're going to lose their re-election. And that's how the NRA has punked a lot of folks.
Absolutely. And I think for us, you know, coming off of a march where we had nearly 5 million people across the world come out, we're not even going to try to compare to those numbers. A very historic occasion. But we do know that there are people of good moral conscience that will be out in the summer of resistance. And we wanted them to be aware that there's danger, that a powerful organization told people, get your gun and show up wherever the protesters are. And we know,
isn't
Roland,
that
there has, in fact, been a surge in violence, attack, racially charged violent attacks towards people, even at Donald Trump's rallies, things happen.
And also, in fact, in Minneapolis, the protest, Black Lives Matter protest,
right.
There were some several white gentlemen who fired shots at those protesters. They were actually caught.
Right.
Now you also have this cop in Baton Rouge who was injured by some other shooter who belonged to a white supremacist militant group. And now he's suing DeRay McKesson and other Black Lives Matter activists saying, y'all created the climate for me to get shot.
Right. And Women's March organizers had a protest in Nevada just 2 weekends ago. And there were actually people there with guns in counter protests with them. So this is very serious. This is not like something that you can just ignore. We had to be clear about, you know, ensuring that people saw this.
Tom, go ahead.
Tamika and Roland, isn't this, when you threaten somebody like that, isn't that illegal?
Well, I don't know if it's illegal, but I'll tell you this much. If you or I did it, Tom and Roland, we'd be in jail for domestic terrorism.
Right.
Are there any members of the NRA that have come out in support of you and saying, you know, this is something you ought to talk about?
So we have seen a lot of NRA members say, you know what, I'm a card-carrying NRA member, but this ad is dangerous and we don't support it. And we hope that those folks will join us out there on Friday.
Friday, 10 a.m., staying with Tamika and others. NRA, Wayne LaPierre. Now, if y'all want to come on Tom Jones and TV One, I'll be more than happy to have a conversation.
I'm telling
you. But let's be clear. Tamika ain't a scared sister, and I ain't a scared brother.
All right.
Okay. Well, you know, we've told Dana Lash that we're ready to debate anytime, so I'm waiting on her to call.
Let's roll. Tamika, thanks so much.
Right.
Thanks.
Good work, Tamika Mallory.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. ZipRecruiter.com. Are you
all
hiring?
All right, folks.
Do you know
thank you so very much, Tamika. Thanks a lot.
To find the best candidate.
All right, folks. When we come back, the whole issue of net neutrality. It is a controversial issue that's been going on for the last several years. We will talk about it next. News One Now on TV One.
So you want the truth? Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, let's go to our panel and talk about the NRA protest. Spencer, Liz, as well as Greg Carr. When the NRA dropped this ad, again, it was all targeting folks exercising their First Amendment rights.
Right.
And they tried to equate all of these protests and this oh, you're so-called, first of all, you said, you know, their president, speaking of President Obama, and then equating the protests, by saying they're all violent and they just been tearing up stuff. And you're going, really? And essentially what they're saying is, the hell with the First Amendment, we prefer the Second Amendment.
That's right.
Well, I mean, anytime. We're talking about social forces, and they have to be raised to a level of contradiction. The NRA is a lobbying organization, but it's also a home for a lot of white nationalism. And what Tamika and them are doing is going to force them to reveal those contradictions. And if they heighten it enough, if we heighten it enough, it'll expose them. And then ultimately, you have to separate that out from the law. And they hurt. Why? They responded publicly. Yeah, they're not ignoring this.
Well, I'm a card-carrying member of the NRA,
exactly.
And the conservative, and you know, my peers, we are not white nationalists.
Exactly.
But as a woman of color, that ad is concerning. And as someone who wants to ensure that all of our constitutional rights are protected, the first and the second, I think it's important for conservatives to hear Tamika, especially those in the, you know, in the city, those who look like us, and to support this march, because it is important to exercise your First Amendment right. But there are many Republicans who will say, or many NRA members who will say, that that ad was in response to the violence and the rhetoric that is focused on Trump supporters.
There
have been Trump supporters
who've been
hit and have been beat up just for wearing the hat.
But what is your business? Is your business to protect the Second Amendment,
exactly,
or is your business to defend Donald Trump? Part of this is the NRA losing its way. It should be out there defending Philando Castile, not saying black lives don't matter.
They're not going to do that.
They should be checking government abuse, not endorsing police abuse of black folks.
Well, they have their flaws, so does the Women's March. If you think about the Women's March in the first time, there were a lot of conservatives who said it was only for certain women, not pro-life women, not conservative women, because they were not welcomed and they were not allowed to participate. So,
okay.
I think it's important.
Hold. The Women's March was in January.
Right.
That ain't got jack to do with this topic.
It's the same organization.
No. It doesn't matter if it's the same organizers. But this is the issue, and the issue here is that the NRA has said nothing about a Philando Castile. If you are supposedly all about the Second Amendment, you should be standing up for him. If you're all about open carry states, they should have been standing up for John Crawford. Now, there were some NRA members who were standing with John Crawford's family and protesting, but was Wayne LaPierre and the NRA officially doing so? Absolutely not.
No, because that's not what they're all about.
No,
they're also about membership.
No,
and they also talk to a certain segment of their membership. And I'm not apologizing for them, nor am I a representative of the agency, of the organization.
But they ain't talking, but they not. But if you are the NRA and you're about the Second Amendment, then you should be saying something when a card-carrying person has a concealed permit and then he says, I have it, and he gets killed. But to say nothing, that tells me you're not serious about the Second Amendment.
Or
final comment.
It's revealing the contradictions. Again, the NRA isn't about just the Second Amendment. It's about preserving a certain image of America. Liz, you're not with them. And by pulling your support out, what you're doing is heightening that contradiction. They're going to have to pick. Are you for a government, for the people, other people, by the people, or are you for preserving white nationalism? Make them make the choice.
And we talk about this whole issue in terms of what Republicans are, conservatives with the NRA and others. Here's another issue that shows you the contrast between Republicans and Democrats. That is the issue of net neutrality. All across the world today, you're going to have supporters of net neutrality organizing themselves on social media, also on various websites. Amazon, they're supporting what's billed as a day of action. In the campaign supported by the crowdfunding website Kickstarter, among others, many websites will display warnings of blocked websites, slow internet speeds, restricted service, and extra service charges. Internet advocates who want to keep the rules say if they are repealed, big cable companies will allow censorship and will have control over what people can see and do online. They're hoping this campaign will get people to send letters to Congress and the FCC supporting net neutrality. Now, cable companies, they say, look, they should be able to regulate their speeds and also provide opportunities for folks. They said that cable should not, broadband should not be regulated like a utility. So let's talk about this right now, folks, with someone who is very much involved with this. And keep in mind, Republicans are very much against more regulation. The Obama administration was supportive of net neutrality. Trump administration against. Joining us right now is Evan Greer, director of Fight for the Future, a digital rights group that is helping coordinate the effort. So, Evan, again, the contrast here. The Obama administration was very supportive of net neutrality. FCC had 3-2 Democrats. Tom Wheeler was the chair. He said we should move forward with this. We should be regulating this and allowing it to be open. That means unfettered, no fast lanes, slow lanes. Trump administration, he wins. Now a complete reversal of that particular policy. How do you combat when you have Republicans controlling the House and the Senate and the White House, and now the FCC? How do you stop this from actually being overturned?
So here's the interesting thing here, Roland. While the Trump administration and certainly his FCC chairman have sort of made themselves the avowed enemies of internet freedom by attacking these net neutrality protections, Republican voters are actually overwhelmingly in support of these rules. No one, regardless of their other political views, wants their cable company, the Comcast, Verizons, and AT&Ts of the world, to have control over what we can see and do on the internet. So that's actually where we have some real power here, and where we struggle on some other issue areas. The Trump administration knows that their base are actually largely aligned with the rest of the internet on this one. And that's why we have this day of action today. This is not a partisan issue. It's a technological issue. Net neutrality is a guiding principle that's made the internet into the great place that it is today. And so this is a moment when the entire internet is coming together to show that this isn't about politics and a political football in Washington, D.C. This is about this technology that's given more of us a voice than ever before, and defending it for future generations.
I've covered this issue for years, spoken at various conferences and workshops on this, and the basic premise here for folks like yourself is that regardless of the size of your company, there should be simply one speed. It doesn't matter if you're a small company, if you're worth several billion dollars, you should not sort of have a different avenue access or entry ramp onto the internet. Then you have big business companies that are saying, absolutely not. There should be no regulations placed on us. That's really what you're up against, this whole idea of regulation versus no regulation.
You know, and it's interesting because the term regulation sort of is getting used by opponents of net neutrality as a buzzword to kind of trigger, to essentially try to fool conservatives into thinking that this is something that they don't like. But when they say that this is quote unquote regulation of the internet, they're conflating the internet with the behavior of companies like Comcast, Verizon, and AT&T. There's nothing about net neutrality that gives the government control over what you can see and do online. In fact, it's just the opposite. Net neutrality rules prevent censorship, blocking, throttling, and prevent your cable company from charging you extra fees just to access the content that you're used to. Imagine going to a social media site and seeing a pop-up from your internet service provider saying, sorry, this isn't included in your package. You need to pay us $10.99 to get our social media package if you want to access this site. No one wants to see that. That hurts all of us, especially those low-income folks and others who are already struggling to cover their monthly internet bill. And it has a profound effect on freedom of speech and freedom of expression as well.
So, Evan, has the FCC officially reversed the position of the Obama administration? Have they voted? So what is your next target? Is it Congress? Is it trying to get Congress to overturn the FCC's decision?
So the FCC has not voted on this yet. They have begun the process of repealing these protections that millions of people from across the political spectrum fought for in 2014 and 2015. But the reason we're organizing our day of protest today is that it's 5 days before the initial comment deadline. So there's still 5 days for people to make their voices heard, give the FCC some feedback. You can easily submit a comment to them through our site, battleforthenet.com, or go and figure out another way to do it yourself. But this is an issue where this agency for far too long has listened pretty much only to lobbyists from these big telecom companies. Now it's time for them to listen to us. And it's really up to all of us to make our voices heard on this issue that affects all of us.
All right, Evan Greer, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I want to go to our panel real quick. Here's the reality. That is, we're now living in a world where the internet is very much like water, electricity, phone service.
That's right.
And there's been this whole battle. Do you regulate it like a utility, or do you say, oh, no, it's not a utility? One of the other things that for folks who believe in net neutrality, they say that, look, if you are a startup, black company, or whatever you, and then you want to have a video service, you want to be able to get your content out there and people be able to access it and not say, well, no, it's a slower tier. This still goes back and forth between conservative principles, progressive principles, Republican, Democrat. You might have a lot of Republicans who believe in this concept, but I still believe it's going to come down to Republican versus Democrat?
It could. I mean, but when you see the titans lined up in favor of net neutrality, Amazon, Hulu, you know, Google, they're saying our consumers are the ones who provide the content. The uploading is key. They don't want to lose out. They see the future. And I think that's where we have.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of conservatives that says that let the market dictate the prices. You don't want the FCC to be regulating rates, and that's going to actually cause smaller MBEs or smaller, you know, minority-owned organizations from not being able to enter into the market at all.
How?
Because when you enter those regulation rates in there and you dictate how much it is, you already have a system of taxes that applies a higher rate to telecommunications than any other business. So a lot of people won't have the private capital to enter into the market. They won't be able to access the funds where you already have these players who are already there.
Spencer?
I think this is going to be a long battle. Whatever happens at the FCC, I think is going to end up in Congress.
No, well, absolutely. Again, and look, Congress has before overturned actions by the FCC. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that's unprecedented.
And you think Republican, Democrat. It's going to break down in Congress that way.
There we go. Folks, coming up next, headlines. Disturbing cell phone video shows a police officer in Georgia beating a homeless woman. Now, an investigation has been opened into that beating. Also, we'll talk health care in the United States Senate, what is going on with that. Plus, CeCe Winans and I sat down, had a little chat in New Orleans at Essence Festival. We'll have that conversation as well. 19 before top of the hour. News One Now on TV One.
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Police in DeKalb County, Georgia, are reopening an investigation into the arrest of a homeless woman who, after cell phone video shows the officer beating her. Folks, this is extremely disturbing to watch this video.
Hey, Kay, stop resisting. Stop resisting. Stop resisting. Stop resisting.
You're on your stomach. Put your hands behind your back.
The nearly 2-minute video from June 4th shows the officer beating 38-year-old Katie McCrary with a baton and threatening to shoot her inside a convenience store. According to the arrest report, the officer responded to a call about a woman begging for money. He confronted McCrary, who then tried to grab his badge, vest, and radio. That's when the officer struck her several times with a baton as he ordered her to put her hands behind her back. She was arrested for obstruction. An internal investigation found the use of force was justified. The department is now reviewing the video to make sure the officer's report is consistent with the video. A 19-year-old girl is recovering from severe injuries after a Bakersfield, California police officer punched her and a police canine attacked her. The NAACP in Bakersfield released a Facebook video of Tatiana Hargrove's encounter with police officers earlier this week. Hargrove says the officers confronted her with guns drawn as she walked home on June 18th. Hargrove says officers punched her, held her head down as their police canine bit her legs. Bakersfield police say officers confused Hargrove for a man spotted in a nearby grocery store carrying a machete. But the suspect was described as 5'10" with facial hair. Tatiana is 5'2". The arresting officer claims he didn't know Hargrove was a woman until after she was handcuffed.
He still tried to handcuff me and flip me over while the dog was still biting me, and I'm yelling out like, I didn't do anything, I'm a female, like, why are you doing this to me?
The officers accused Hargrove of pushing them and arresting her for resisting an aggravated assault of an officer. The NAACP says Hargrove was targeted for her race. They want the DA office to drop all charges. A controversial Cook County judge is now presiding over the cases of three Chicago police officers charged with helping cover up Laquan McDonald's shooting. After another judge stepped down from the case, Judge Diane Cannon was appointed by random computer assignment. Cannon is best known for acquitting former Chicago police commander Glenn Evans on charges he shoved his gun down a black man's throat and threatened to kill him in 2015. She called the DNA evidence on Evans' gun, on the tip of his gun, insignificant. Monday, Joseph Walsh, David March, and Thomas Gaffney pleaded not guilty to conspiring to cover up what happened the night officer Jason Van Dyke shot and killed 17-year-old McDonald in 2014. The officers coordinated their story to protect officers involved. Cannon freed them from jail. All right, folks, in the United States Senate, let's talk about health care. Senator Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he is delaying the summer recess for Republicans in order they can pass this bill. Lots of protests have been taking place. Folks were, of course, arrested all throughout the week, actually the last couple of weeks. On tomorrow, Reverend Dr. William Barber will be leading others as they go to Mitch McConnell's office. There have been demonstrators flooding lawmakers on Capitol Hill, not just with phone calls and emails, but also personally showing up at their offices. Let's go to our panel and talk about this here, folks. I don't think for a second, that Mitch McConnell thinks that this is not going to happen. The pressure is about to intensify against him and Senate Republicans if they try to pass this health care bill.
Yeah, well, but he has to. I mean, he has to fulfill his promise. He's this guy who they call a genius in terms of strategy doesn't have a hand to play. I mean, all he can do now is press it up. You're going to lose. Susan Collins has already said she can't support it. They got a little $45 billion buyout. They're trying to delay the tax cuts. But ultimately, he knows this is holding up his agenda. They got to raise the debt ceiling. So McConnell has to do this. It's really his only play is to put it up.
And what's amazing to me, Liz, you got to ask, when will all of these conservative folks in these red states
right.
who are going to get screwed with Medicaid, mm-hmm. when are they going to rise up? I mean, I'm talking about really Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah. You're talking about Tennessee. You're talking about Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, all these places. If they actually think, oh, yeah, we're going to be protected, they're going to wake up and go, oh, my God, what just happened?
Some of them do think. They don't know the difference between Obamacare and the ACA, and we all know it's the
right.
same thing.
They hate
thing.
Obamacare but love the ACA.
Right, and we know that's it's just, the same thing.
Can we just go ahead and say this? Y'all stupid. No, because people always say, well, you know, we shouldn't call the voters stupid. You are stupid. If you actually say, I hate Obamacare and I love the ACA, it's the same thing. I can't tolerate stupid.
Yes.
That's called just stupid people.
Yes. Right. And then the bill that's being presented now, there's an increase. They're trying to split the baby. They're trying to increase the Medicaid Black Grant so some of the moderates can come on board. But then we're talking about Medicaid Black Grants that have to be accepted by, you know, the governor. And those states that we're talking about where most of the conservative voters who don't want to support Obamacare, they're going to be harmed if that state chooses not to accept an expansion of Medicaid.
Concern, simple. Millions of black folks gonna lose health insurance. It comes down to it.
But it's just black folks. Barber's on yesterday. He said of the 22 million who will lose it, 17 million of them are white.
Some of them are people who did not want it. They had to take it because of the mandate.
And guess what?
And old people too.
And guess what? And when they get sick,
right?
When something happens, look, I've been there.
Yes.
2000.
Yes. Sir.
Okay, Democratic National Convention, a freelance producer. Not having health insurance because couldn't afford Cobra, appendix ruptures, spent 5 days in an LA hospital, took me 2 months to recover, almost $100,000 in bills, had to file bankruptcy 4 years later, almost lost my home. Okay, are you 28, 29 out there? Go ahead and try it if you want to, and then see what happens if you don't have health care.
No question. There it is right there. You just laid it out, Roland. It's not just about health care. You could ruin somebody economically. You're talking about families, future generations. Yeah. That made it clear.
And in fact, this is fact, before I go to break right now, we have seen a dramatic drop in the number of people filing for bankruptcy due to health care since the Affordable Care Act was passed. The greatest reason people were filing bankruptcy, and I was there, was because of health care. Yeah, and it dropped after the Affordable Care Act. And we'll see what happens. Coming up next on News One Now, folks, our box office roundup plus, we'll chat with CeCe Winans. All that next, News One Now on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, of course, we spent lots of time in New Orleans at Essence Festival and talked to a lot of different people. I caught up with CeCe Winans and she talked about her new project and her surprise tribute there to Sissy Houston.
Whenever you're received by your own people, your own culture, I don't think there's anything that compares to that.
Mm-hmm.
And to see us all doing something together in unity, having fun, enjoying the weather, enjoying the different gifts and talents that come out of what God has given us. It's a great thing to experience.
And they also all think they're your cousins. You know, I've never seen it.
Oh, like, of course. Hey, see? David, yes, that's what I love about it. Right. It's no strangers.
At all.
And I know they know you. I know you are their best friend.
They be like, hey, Uncle Roro, how you doing? Well, here's what I know people watch. Because, you know, I end my show every day with holla. Somebody walk up to me and be like, holla. Like, okay, you watch. It's always a seasoned saint,
it.
Too.
Always.
She woke up by 75. She'd be like, holla.
That's got to make you feel pretty
good. Oh yeah.
Right?
So it's always good. All good. So what you got? What you working on? What you got?
Well, just finished a new record. So I have a new record now. Let Them Fall in Love is the name of it. I'm on tour. Okay. Fall in Love Tour. Just performed here in New Orleans few weeks ago. It was really great. I had a great time.
Who are you touring with? Just you?
Yeah, just me.
Okay.
Just me. Got a new record and I'm pretty excited about it. And then tonight, or should I say tomorrow, I'm a surprise guest for one of the people that they're honoring.
Okay. All right.
So
then.
I better keep that a surprise,
all right,
I guess.
Then.
Well, in case they're watching.
You know, but this is going to air when it's all over. So,
oh, when it's all
so
over.
All good.
So, I can tell.
You can actually say who you're
Sissy.
Surprising.
They're that's honoring right. Sissy.
So they don't know.
No, she doesn't know.
She don't know.
So I'm honored to be here.
You're going to get a text. Girl, where you at? Oh, I'm in New Jersey. I'm in Nashville.
If not, you're going to get it. It's going to be your fault.
That means you can't take no pictures on social media.
That's right. I'm sitting in front of camera. I'm doing all of that. Right. Exactly. I'm hiding.
Now, what I need to know is, has BB finally learned the name of y'all songs? When we were the Tom Jones Family Reunion, when Grace came out.
Right.
Remember doing a concert? He was just making up words.
Oh,
and we were backstage. And he was like,
that is
what were you doing? I forgot the words. And you look like, what is he singing?
You know what? It's always hard when you come out with something new. It's like you better go in there and practice.
Right.
And you know, BB, he doesn't think he has to practice. You know?
He was sitting there just making up words.
It comes easy for him. Most of the time, I have to work at it. He does it.
Have you ever been on that stage where you felt something in that room where you said, you know what? I need to switch up what I'm doing because I'm picking up something,
definitely.
But I need to shift what my plan was.
Definitely, and even speaking, you feel that. But I didn't realize this is the first time I heard that somebody that doesn't prepare at all and kind of walk in. Well, you kind of know what you're
right.
going to do, but
no, I just
but
tell
you let the room tell you.
I just tell
you
how much time I got.
Wow.
I've written one speech in my life, and I never read from it. But literally, I can give a 15, a 20, 30, 45 hour and a half
just by filling in the room.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, definitely that happens to me a lot. You know, you have a program, but then you get there and it's like, no, I sense I need to go this direction.
Mm-hmm.
Or even speaking, you know. So yeah, I totally understand what you're saying, but I've never went out and just said, okay, let me just feel what's happening.
No, I've literally
That's amazing.
Changed my speech going, like I said, okay, fine, I'm going to settle on this while I'm sitting down.
Uh-huh.
I've literally changed it walking to the podium.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's the beauty
that's
of
awesome.
I'm not writing it because, you know, I can just flip it.
Yeah.
But literally, and see, now my wife was, so she gets so mad at me because so she's ordained.
So she's probably nervous.
Baby, she's been ordained 23 years.
Oh,
so
my
like,
God.
Like when she preaches, okay. She goes in this cocoon.
Yeah.
She like goes
that's
in the corner.
That's me. I have to work so
like
hard at it.
She got books. You know, she's just all in this.
Yes.
You know, you can't really talk to her.
Right.
I'm like, I'm sorry. So I did three services at the
That's
church.
That's not fair.
And we were going in. She goes, what are you going to talk about? I said, I don't know. I hadn't decided. I'm literally sitting in the pulpit. Choir singing. I'm talking. They singing like right before I go up.
Like
and
the last so, song.
And I literally open the Bible up and go, I find a scripture. I take a half of a scripture.
And then you
come up with my title, know what my points are, and boom.
Oh, you know what? I'm not even speaking to you anymore. I'm with your wife. I'm on her side.
I said, baby, don't hate the gift. Don't hate the gift.
Don't hate the gift. That would be tempting not to hate the gift.
Oh, she can't.
In that circumstance.
Because she's in this hole.
That's me, too. I call it a hole. I have to go into a cave.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you know what? Is this interview over? Because I'm done talking to you. I am totally done. Are you serious?
Yeah. No, seriously.
Wow.
No, seriously. I tell you, don't hate to give.
Well, too much is given, much is required.
You know, I'm not
so.
Like I say somebody got to Ah, too much fun with CC. Let me take a break. We come back.
box office numbers, plus birthday shout-outs. News 1 9, TV 1, back in 60 seconds.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Number one in the box office, Spider-Man Homecoming, top spot. Of course, latest installment of the Web Heroes Adventures took in $117 million, features Laura Harrier and Zendaya. Baby Driver, co-starring Jimmy Fox, slipped a spot coming in at number three. It took in $13 million in its second week. DC Comics Wonder Woman still holding strong in six with a $9.8 million. It's the highest grossing film directed by a woman. Rounding out the top 10 grossing films, Transformers The Last Knight, sci-fi action flick, has Gerard Carmichael and Tyrese Gibson, pulled in $6.3 million in its third week in theaters. All right, y'all, let's go to birthday shout-outs. Comedian Lonnie Love. She watches the show early in California. She turns 47. Lonnie, what's up? And I got some video of you being really ignorant, dancing at Essence. Oh, you know I'm going to post it. Movie actress. Come on, scroll up. Let's go. Keep going. Thank you. Natalie DeSalle turns 50. What happened to Lisa Nicole Carlson? I saw her photo there for some reason. It's also, well, scroll down. I'll do Lisa Nicole. Bill, she turns 47. We ain't seen much of her. Great sister, great actress, but hopefully she'll be back in action. Bill Cosby, comedian Bill Cosby, turns 80 years old on this day in history in 1887. The town of Mount Bio, Mississippi is founded by two freed slaves, Isaiah Montgomery and Benjamin Green. 1949, F.M. Jones patents an air conditioning unit and a starter generator for cooling gas engines. Praise the Lord for being from Texas. Plus, Barbara Jordan from Texas becomes the first African American to address the Democratic National Convention on this day. We got to go.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.